God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, and he said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about his word, and follow the words of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. This is an uncomfortable kind of message for people who really, really love President Donald John Trump. I mean, we're to love our neighbor. We're to love our enemies. We're to respect our authorities. And when those authorities are being godly people, that's a lot easier. I'm not saying that President Trump's become ungodly. I don't think so. But he's not going to rescue you. He's not. He's providing us a ton of good. Praise God. I am absolutely, absolutely thrilled at an opportunity to vote for him. Border enforcement alone is, I think, worth the price because of what we're seeing in the saving of human lives. I'm sure you saw this Washington Post headline explaining that there is a mysterious decrease in fentanyl arrests at our border and in cities. It's just so mysterious. Why could that be the case? So on that topic alone, the president has done so much. And in self-deportations and the deporting of criminal illegal immigrants, he's given us an opportunity to have more fair elections, for sure. The executive orders he's issued are 99% common sense, pro-America, very godly. I mean, they're not being enforced. So in that regard, they're beautiful to look at. And he's made strong efforts to do anything he can to restructure the global trade system, but the establishment refuses to allow it because they don't want it restructured. So he can't rescue us. And fundamentally, from a perspective of eternity, no one can. We can't even rescue ourselves. President Trump can't rescue himself from a perspective of eternity, which is the perspective we should be looking at. So let's look at news through a lens of eternity. Because this is where I think our focus should be. And I've said this for a long time. Like, our act of rebellion is to be godly stewards of our family. It's to love our wives as Christ loves the church. It's for wives to love and obey their husbands so long as their husband is taking his orders from Christ Jesus. It is to come under and lift up. This is the act of rebellion against a world that hates us. And it does hate us. This is a headline from the separate country of Seattle. Do you remember a few weeks ago when the mayor there, Bruce Harreld, came out and admitted that the Bible is adverse to the city of Seattle? Remember that? This is a headline from Como News, one of the least repugnant of the local news stations there. FBI director announces investigation into religious violence at Capitol Hill rally. Religious violence. There was no religious violence. The Christians who went there were pointedly peaceful. So people who read only headlines, which is about 85% of people, think, yep, there you go. There's the Christians out there committing violence. Let's look at this from an eternal perspective. Praise God. We're being hated for his name. Praise God. He told us, blessed are you when people speak evil of you in regard to me. And I know I'm paraphrasing. When I quote the Bible, I will give you scripture verse. I will say, I'm quoting the Bible, here's the scripture and here's the verse. If I'm paraphrasing it, I won't do that. So praise God, we're being hated for his name. Let's look at the news again from a perspective of eternity, because we are not going to get our fiscal house in order. The American economy, in my judgment, will crash. This year, no. The next four, probably not. But for goodness sake, if Republicans can't agree to cut $9 billion out of a country's budget where we have an actual debt of $300 trillion, there's no point in pretending we're ever going to get out of debt. No point. And yes, God warns us about debt. He warns us to be wise stewards financially. But let's look at some other areas from a perspective of faith where we can praise God. The Supreme Court rejected this middle school student's appeal over his two genders shirt. Here was his speech to the school board.
I never thought that the shirt I wore to school on March 21st would lead me to speak with you today. On that Tuesday morning, I was taken out of gym class to sit down with two adults for what turned out to be a very uncomfortable talk. I was told that people were complaining about the words on my shirt, that my shirt was making some students feel unsafe. Yes, words on a shirt made people feel unsafe. They told me that I wasn't in trouble, but it sure felt like I was. I was told that I would need to remove my shirt before I could return to class. When I nicely told them that I didn't want to do that, they called my father. Thankfully, my dad supported my decisions and came to pick me up. What did my shirt say? Five simple words. There are only two genders. Nothing harmful, nothing threatening, just a statement I believe to be a fact. I have been told that my shirt was targeting a protected class. Who is this protected class? Are their feelings more important than my rights? I don't complain when I see pride flags and diversity posters hung throughout the school. Do you know why? Because others have a right to their beliefs just as I do. Not one person, staff, or student told me that they were bothered by what I was wearing. Actually, just the opposite. Several kids told me that they supported my actions and that they wanted one too.
It's a beautiful statement, and it makes much more sense than what the Supreme Court said. The Supreme Court ruling boiled down. The school district can tell that boy he doesn't get to have a t-shirt that says two genders. Because it's mean. It's mean. It's a demeaning message. Blessed are you when people spread falsehoods about you because you're defending Jesus Christ. There are facts from our Bible. The Bible is God's word, inerrant and complete. God created us in his image, male and female, he created us. These are facts. And the Supreme Court, in doing this, they're simply operating in the exact way that God knew they would. And if we look at this from an eternal perspective, we have an opportunity to abide with Jesus Christ by doing something as simple as saying, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, and meaning it. And by ourselves saying, you know, I think I'd like a shirt that says two genders. And daring them, come for us. Come and get us. That's not a court order, by the way, that should be followed. No one should stop wearing shirts that say two genders. That boy should not stop. His parents should say, if you get kicked out of school, we'll send you to another one. We should not obey authorities when they tell us to disobey God. I mean, we have the model. The apostles were told, you don't get to speak about Jesus anymore. And if you continue, we're going to do bad things to you. And they said, well, then start doing the bad things. Because we cannot stop. So if we look at news from an eternal perspective, look at all the opportunities we have to serve. If we look at it from an eternal perspective and we look at who is telling the lies and the sort of lies they're telling, again, we can praise God. One of the grand poobahs of so-called journalism on TV recently gave a commencement address. And here's Scott Pelley raging against Trump in that commencement address.
But in this moment, this morning, our sacred rule of law is under attack. Journalism is under attack. Universities are under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. And insidious fear is reaching through our schools, our businesses, our homes, and into our private thoughts. The fear to speak in America. Power can rewrite history with grotesque, false narratives. They can make criminals heroes and heroes criminals. Power can change the definition of the words we use to describe reality. Diversity is now described as illegal. Equity is to be shunned. Inclusion is a dirty word. This is an old playbook, my friends. There's nothing new in this.
There's nothing new under the sun, such as a guy named Scott Pelley, who is part of the left that has insisted you will pretend boys are girls. You will use the phrase transgender woman, in other words, bending reality. He works at a network that uses the phrase undocumented migrant or just migrant, who has described a Maryland man who was being deported, just a Maryland man, who, by the way, is an MS-13 gang member, but they didn't say that part. More to the point about that video there, his commencement address. Do you know Tiffany Justice with Moms for Liberty? I got to hang out with her a bit at an event which we both spoke last summer. Really nice lady, incredibly smart, very focused, obsessed, I think, as well with liberty. Good Christian woman. She wrote this about Scott Pelley's address, part of which you just heard. I read porn from public school library books to Scott Pelley, who listened with his glasses tucked between his lips. He edited that part out of the 60 Minutes interview to make our concerns seem unfounded. Scott is a liar and a fraud. Praise be to God when people lie about you when you're serving Jesus. And keeping kids away from that filth serves Jesus. Listen to how Julie Hamels, she's a lawyer, how her simple question nearly short-circuited CNN's Breonna Keeler.
What would make this fair for her to compete for those who are competing against her? What would that kind of structure in competition look like?
Who is her?
AB.
Okay, AB Hernandez is a male who identifies as a female. What would be fair is to have Hernandez competing in the male category. It is not fair to the females competing to have to compete with a male.
Indeed. It's an incredible interview if you watch the whole thing. Because the CNN propagandist continues to try to insert into this lies. And it's so, so easy to be the ones who give in when she says, what would be fair for her? A lot of people on the other end of the interview would simply respond, well, we think this. We are called to speak truth, and we're called not to lie. We're told, do not lie. It's one of the easiest commandments to understand, and it's one of the easiest to break. President Trump is not going to rescue us. He can't rescue himself. He's done incredible things for this country. God has used him in amazing ways. Most amazing, I think, is to reveal how corrupt Washington, D.C. is, as professional Republicans can't seem to get the gumption up to cut $9 billion out of our $300 trillion debt. And that is the real number. It's not $30 trillion. Off the book debt is still debt. So President Trump has allowed God to use him in amazing ways. I think the most amazing of which is to watch the efforts to which Satan has gone to control one side of the political spectrum. Praise be to God that we know which side on which we stand. I stand with Christ. How about you? We'll come back on The Disciples' View. back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Who do you think we should pray for most in our society? Yeah, we're called to pray for our leaders, and we're called to pray for our enemies, and we're called to pray for I guess, everybody. But if you had to make a decision of a group of people who really deserve prayer and need it, in fact, require it evermore, who would that be? You know, I ask because in the seat in which I sit, I get a lot of words through email from people. And I'll give you some pain points I've heard in the past few weeks because of where the job I have is unique in that regard. I just get a lot of emails from people. It's not a more important job. It's just unique. Here's some pain points I've heard. I've heard people begging for prayer because of the tariff situation. I've heard people write to me and say, I voted for President Trump. I feel betrayed that he's trying these tariffs. I had a guy write to me to say, you said rogue judges. I'm glad if their judges are rogue. I'm glad whatever they've done to stop these tariffs because they're killing our jobs in manufacturing and I feel betrayed. That's a pain point. Now, I happen to believe that we have to restructure the global economy or we're going to get crushed by it. And I'm not optimistic. I think President Trump has tried great things, but that's a group of people that need prayer. We just shared the other day the great news out of Pennsylvania, preventing the sale of the steel mill, the steel plants, and people getting those jobs back. It's like 11,000 jobs. People feeling they can breathe again. Praise God, they've got work. Man, I stand in awe of that work, but that's a pain point, I hear. I get these all the time from people. Todd, we have to get out of our city of Los Angeles or Portland or Austin or Seattle. Just name the city. But we can't. Our parents are aged. We have to stay here and care for them. I'm landlocked in my job. There's nothing else I can do. I'm with the military and they will not reassign me. I'm trapped. What do we do? And all I can say is, if you're trapped in those circumstances, then it's ever more important to understand God has you right there. You must be mighty in the Lord because this is your mission. This is what you've been given. This is your ministry. It's a tough one. I don't know that I'd want it. I've done my time in those cities. I don't know that I'd want it. Would I be willing to follow it? I hope so. If God came and said, yeah, you're going back to Seattle. I hope I would say, yes, Father. Otherwise, he'd put me in a fish and dump me there. So I think people like that need prayer. I've been getting a lot of notes from people with lonely husbands. Two last week. I got a third directly from a man this week saying, can we spend time together? I'm very lonely. What a blessing to receive these notes. And my only reply can be, I don't live near you. I mean, you live in Maine. I live in Idaho. And I'd love to see you at the Activate Summit and reply to the email and give prayer and write back to you and try to find some solace. But I'm just a dude. God said it is not good that man is alone. So to these emails, I'm writing back and saying, please become part of a church family. Please go to a biblically strict church. Please make that your point, not some guy on the radio who you don't know. So these are some people I think who need prayer. I think our kids need prayer. Given what they face in a very unique onslaught against them, we talked yesterday about AI and what that's going to do, or what I think it's going to do. But there's one group of people that I think really, really, really need our prayer, and we often don't think of it. It's pastors. I think if you look at the data around pastors, we're seeing a record number of people leave that calling and leave their churches and go and seek work in the private sector. We're seeing increasing depression. We're seeing increased financial strain. I mean, in our little corner of the world in North Idaho, it is very difficult for pastors to ever consider buying a home. I have a friend of mine who's working in a ministry that would build homes for pastors that they could afford and help finance it for them, because we want our pastors well cared for. And our church does a great job. They teach financial discipline, savings discipline. They do everything they can for benefit of the pastors. They simply can't pay the high salaries that are needed all of a sudden in North Idaho. That's one reason for prayer. And is that the same where you live? And you could say, well, okay, this is a life of having less. Yes. Yes. Financially, yes. From an eternal perspective, no, it's not. It's having more. But the attack on pastors is also now so pronounced to change. The effort being applied to have them no longer speak God's word in relation to the hard topics. There's pressures that we can't even relate to. You certainly know who Greg Laurie is, right? So Greg Laurie is probably one of the best known American pastors. And I'm not here to say Greg Laurie is the best American pastor. I'm here to say he's well known, very, very successful. I know people who know him. I know people who spent a ton of time with him, and they consider him to be a good, solid man of God. And I know some people who met him recently, simply had a dinner with him and came back and said, man, that guy's really down to earth. I mean, he's really just a common guy, and praise God for that. You know about his church in Riverside, California, the Harvest Christian Fellowship. I'm sure you know more about him than I do. I simply have listened to him speak many, many times. And you know he's responsible for many souls coming to the Lord Jesus. Praise God for that. So Greg Laurie is a Southern Baptist Convention. That's in 2017. He became a member of the Southern Baptist Convention. And he is a guy who's recently been attacked. Not physically, praise God. I'm glad to say that. But he was attacked because he owns a home. And the attack came from a woman who calls herself a Christian investigative journalist. I've not met her. I just looked at this and I'm ashamed. I fell for it. Her name is Julie Royce. And if you know Julie, I'd love to have her on the program. I'd love to spend a couple of segments with her talking about her work investigating the church. And maybe we could talk about this piece. Because yes, we should keep Christ's house in order. I do that here. I mean, it's very common in this segment for me to play audio from pastors, so-called, who are purely heretical. You've heard these. These are the people who do things like say that Eve's decision to defy God and eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was the greatest act in the history of humanity. You heard that sermon, right? Or the sermon where people contend that a fake pastor contended that when Jesus entered the city to be crucified, it was an act of drag. Remember that? So we police that here, and it's purely heretical. And if people have asked me, do you reach out to those pastors? No, because they're not Christian. It's very clear that they're fake Christian. Now, I don't know this about Julie Royce. I don't know her heart. I just now saw this, and I'm ashamed I fell for it. She wrote a tweet, and it got my attention. I admit it. I fell for it. Don't be surprised. Greg Laurie endorsed prosperity preacher Paula White's book. Here's a peek at Laurie's $5 million home in Newport Beach, California. It's truly amazing how profitable preaching has become. So, pause. Look, I agree that Paula White is problematic. She's President Trump's spiritual advisor, and speaking for myself, I think she's a heretic. Have I reached out to her? No, because I'm not convinced that she's Christian. Maybe that's me just fooling myself. Maybe I owe her that outreach. You can tell me if I do. Comments at afr.net. You can email me there. The management will see that. You can go directly to my website. It's thetoddhermanshow.com. I'd love to hear your opinion on that. I mean, the reason I think that Paula White's a heretic is because she told us if we gave her money before Easter, she would guarantee we'd see a 7-time return on our blessing. She does not have that power. She doesn't have a special distribution agreement with God. Furthermore, she stood on stage as her husband's, who's, I think, a very well-meaning guy. I really do. He was one of the key people in the band Journey. He was a Christian in a world where it's hard to be Christian. I think that what he said came from an entertainment perspective. He said that women who are having trouble thrilling their husbands in bed should watch pornography. And Paula White stood there and laughed. So she says that Greg Laurie endorsed her book, Paula White's book, but he has this house that's $5 million. And I got it. It was clickbait. I fell for it. Wow, $5 million. Greg Laurie, I'm disappointed. I didn't even think of the obvious. So a pastor named Tiff Shuttlesworth wrote back respectfully to Julie and said, Greg Laurie's pastored in California for nearly 50 years. Did you consider the possibility, Julie Roy's, that the house was purchased for substantially less and a substantially increase in value before you made your accusatory remark? The average house in California cost around $23,000 50 years ago and $783,000 in 2024. So Julie Roy's responded, it's a $5 million home, for goodness sake. Does the average Californian who bought a home in 1998 own a $5 million home today? Not even close. But here's another celebrity pastor who's got Greg's back. You should all be ashamed of yourselves. Oh, did you get the pastor's name? Oh, you didn't? Wait, you don't know who Tiff Shuttlesworth is? Last time I checked, Pastor Shuttlesworth had about 1,200 followers on Twitter. That is a small number. Want to know why? Because apparently he spends his time pastoring. And this is how he wrote back to Julie Roy's. He writes to her and said, I am gobsmacked at your unfounded accusations. I assumed you were a legitimate reporter, and instead you seem to be a mean-spirited gossip. I'm not a celebrity minister. I've been involved in world missions for almost 50 years. I serve as the president of a 100-year-old accredited Bible college and seminary where I've not taken any salary. I paid $83,000 for my house over 30 years ago. I've done my best to live a moderate life and reach the unreached in over 70 countries of the world. And though I have nothing to boast about outside of Jesus Christ, your accusations against me are evidence of being a gossip who's quick to impulsively demean ministers without cause. Oh, his name again? Tiff Shuttlesworth. Not a celebrity pastor. My friends at Protestia.com jumped into this. They monitor pastors for a living. That's what their website is about. That's what their Twitter channel is about. I get tons of material because they do a great job of surfacing these woke, heretical pastors. Protestia posted a tweet saying, with all due respect to Pastor Shuttlesworth, we've never heard of him. And we hear of a lot of pastors. They also posted this about Greg Laurie's home. The home was last sold in 1998 for $845,000. In 1998, it appreciated to a value of $3.6 million and apparently appreciated to more than $5 million in 2025. This is bad, though, and Julie Roy thinks Laurie is to blame for this. She seemingly thinks he should downsize to a cheaper resident, but how cheaper and in what neighborhood should he move in order to please her is unclear. Now, it seems to me that Julie Roy would like Greg Laurie to do as she says, that he should seek her approval of where to live, which brings me back to why I think pastors need our prayers. There's the pressure to fill the seats. We have to fill the seats. So we need to make show. We need to have some sensationalism. And I'm here to tell you that when you seek an audience through sensationalism, you'll often get that audience. But you will get it at the expense of who you really are. I can speak to that because I did that. And I lost myself. And I spent a good long time away from God being notorious. So there's that pressure. there's the pressure to conform to the ways of the world with our pastors. And that pressure is, look, I know what the Bible says. Guys, I've heard this from pastors. I've heard it in emails. I've heard it in person from pastors where they have members of the church body, where they've even had some elders say, look, I know what the Bible says about same-sex activity. I know what it says. I know what it says about genders. I am not asking you to stop believing that. I believe it. I'm certainly not asking you to go to the pulpit and say the opposite. What I'm asking you is, can we stop talking about these things? All I'm saying is it's in the Bible. People can read it. We should not be speaking of this from the pulpit. If you ever find yourself in the position of saying, this part of God's word is unpopular, so don't speak it, you find yourself denying one of the great blessings, and that is to be hated by the world because you serve Jesus Christ. Please pray for pastors that they will continue to abide and be filled, and that where they need it, they can get the financial help to buy a starter home that maybe one day will grow to a $5 million home. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back on The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the tire babbling here and a personal notes as we wrap up the show. A couple of cleanup items. I mentioned this earlier. I mentioned some of the great work that God has done through President Trump. And he's been responsible for, in his first term, he did bring American manufacturing back, praise God. And I know in his heart, I don't know, but I believe that in his heart, the tariffs were a solution to bring American manufacturing back. I think it's just almost self-evident that he craves that. And that's a true and it's a patriotic thing. And it's also, I think, a compassionate thing for people in our country to have work and to once again feel secure in that. And President Trump was partly responsible for this. And listen, these are Western Pennsylvania steelworkers, and they're reacting to this massive deal in which the president was involved between U.S. Steel and Nippon Steel, which saved their factories.
How I feel is I could take a breath today. It seemed like through this whole sale that was pending, it just gave you stress.
Now, third-generation steelworker Andrew Macy has the deal he's pushed hard for, all just months before he retires.
It's just wonderful.
It's like early Christmas, man, here in the Mon Valley, and he's protecting at least 11,000 jobs for Pennsylvanians.
It's overwhelming with emotion. So yes, I was crying, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. Big men cry. And I was crying with happiness.
Praise God for happy tears. Praise God for work. Well done, President Trump, and everyone who worked on that deal. And thank you to Nippon. Let's be consistent. One of the other things that God has done, and I think that this is, I'm guessing, that's dangerous to guess God's motives and his work, but I think it's equally undeniable that through President Trump, the nakedness of DC has been exposed. Our intelligence services have no problem rigging elections. I didn't say stealing. I believe it was stolen. I know it was rigged. They did this through psyops. Pretending that President Trump was a Russian asset was a psyop against the voters. That's at least an attempted coup. Our so-called public health officials performed a psyop to con us into taking an injection that can do no goods, only harm. We have a financial system that is predicated upon conjuring digits, fake money. We have a university system that has begun recruiting people to come to our country with student visas who pointedly hate our country. So much has been revealed about this fake temple that people have worshipped. Praise God for this. Here's a tiny, tiny little example of this, but it speaks to a Washington, D.C. that has fraud built into the infrastructure. The design of Washington, D.C. encourages, nurtures, and protects fraud. I mean, the biggest example is 1/3 of our dollars from the Treasury are unaccountable. We can never, ever know where they went. Here's a smaller example, but it's a good one. Rick Grenell revealed they've discovered $26 million in fake revenue in the 2024 and 5 budgets of the Kennedy Center.
Our great new CFO went through the 24 and 25 budgets of the Kennedy Center and found $26 million in phantom revenue, fake revenue. It's criminal. We're going to refer this to the U.S. Attorney's Office here. We're lucky enough to have the Attorney General on the board of the Kennedy Center who heard all the details today. She heard the details. And this is unacceptable in America, to have a fake revenue of $26 million fraud on previous donors.
If you did that as a public company, you would have pierced your own corporate veil. And if you were prosecuted, if you were proven to have done that in court, you would go to prison. Of course, no one's going to prison. No one's going to be punished. So why is God revealing this to us? Well, he warned us. If you want human kings, here's what you're going to get. We're still getting it. It just happens that through President Trump, God is revealing to us that, hey, it's gotten worse, guys. I can see God saying, I'm still here. You can have perfection with me in eternity. How about if you make me your king and these guys your presidents and your senators? How about if you make me your ultimate authority? Good plan. Now, it's frustrating because, of course, there's so much corruption and incompetence wound together at the top of our system. But we do this as a way to honor God's decision to allow it. We thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents the Tower of Babbling.
What does Trump expect? Oh, I believe he expects violence. I believe he expects confrontation. I believe he's working toward a civil war.
Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling starting here. Listen to MSNBC's Chris Hayes' mean-spirited, childish hit piece opening monologue about Elon Musk.
Did you feel that down into your toes? That full body cringe? Well, Musk is now leaving in disgrace because lots of people felt that way when they were around him. He was wholesale rejected by about everyone. We've seen report after report after report that everyone simply couldn't stand the guy. Doesn't matter how rich he is.
Huh, gosh, you know, I've not seen those reports. And I frankly don't care. Elon Musk showed us, and I think God used Elon Musk, that our system is designed to encourage, recruit, nurture, and hide fraud. For that, Elon deserves endless thanks. And the judging's going to be this week. The Republican Party will vote in the DOGE cuts and refuse to let go of the DOGE found fraud, or the Republican Party will be a fraud. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, New York AG Letitia James tried to explain her way her real estate fraud.
I am not a resident of Virginia and never will be. And in the mortgage application, I indicated that I would not live in Virginia and I was not a resident. They just took the power of attorney, and they're using that as a basis for enforcement for their investigation, when in reality, the power of attorney was never used to determine my eligibility for a mortgage for my niece for a home in the state of Virginia. My niece, who has children, and because I am a bit on, I wanted her to have a home.
Cool story, bro. That's what you say when it's a guy not telling the truth. The forms say what the forms said. And you can attempt to hide behind power of attorney, but that has meaning, as you know, Letitia. It means you gave that attorney power to state things on your behalf, as you know well. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, King Charles III was in Canada, and he wanted to make an acknowledgement about the territory his country conquered.
I would like to acknowledge that we are gathered on the unceded territory of the Algonquin and the Shinabeg people. This land acknowledgement is a recognition of shared history as a nation. While continuing to deepen my own understanding, it is my great hope that in each of your communities and collectively as a country, a path is found toward truth and reconciliation in both word and deed.
Word and deed. And this is amazing to announce. Canada has decided to give that land back to the Algonquin people. And King Charles, pardon? Oh, you were joking? Wait, they didn't? So Charles didn't give the land back. Oh, I'm sorry, my bad, because he said word and deed. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
Now, no longer are you necessarily keeping those private files in some file cabinet that's locked in the basement of the house. It's on your laptop, and it's then therefore up here in this cloud that exists above us, right?
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
That's got to be one of Kamala Harris's greatest hits. On a personal note today, we've been talking a little bit about how God can use anybody and how God is to be praised even when we're through bad times, particularly when we are being lied about in his name and people saying bad things about us in his name because we follow Christ. God is also able to draw from moments that seem just awful, just incredible moments of grace and minor miracles. I was just thinking about this because we were reminiscing the other day about summer camps. And because we've got another one coming up, and I'll be serving at that summer camp, and I will not be sleeping for 4 days, and because it's just that structured that way, I'm actually really can't wait to go. I've got to know these boys this year, and I'm excited to spend this time with them. But we were talking about one of the events we had prior to camp, and it was unusual. This has only happened once that we had to call the police. So there was a student who did not want to leave, but had done some things that we could not support, and then unfortunately made the decision to threaten one of the staff members. And so at that point, we just surrounded the student, so he wasn't going to be able to carry out a threat. And we called the police, and the police here are very good. We're blessed with a great police force in this part of North Idaho. And there were three cars there pretty quickly. And they came and they took that student. And I never did follow up, but it didn't look like they arrested him. They put him in the back of the car without handcuffs, which is usually an indication he's not been arrested. And probably took him home. And it's not my business. I didn't go ask the leadership, hey, what happened? And what? Because it's not my business. And they're not going to tell me. Because it's not material to my job or as a volunteer. So there was someone else that came with him. And he went up to one of the pastor leaders and said, this is awkward because he's my ride home. So one of our leaders said, hey, you know what? Can we call your parents? No, they're not home. But okay, look, we're going to make sure you get home. Even if we have to hire you an Uber or take you ourselves or track your parents down, we're not going to let you be trapped here. Don't worry. We're going to make sure you get home if you want to stay. If not, we'll try to work on this now. I said, no, I guess I'll stay. He knew no one. Brave decision. And after the large group meeting and the games, he got into a small group and was there for the discussion. And I didn't get to see the discussion because he was not in my small group. And after the small group, then there's games time. So now this kid knew some other kids. So he actually stuck around for game time. And one of our pastors was then following up with him, who came over and said, hey, you know, what's going on with the ride home? Because I texted my parents. They're going to come and get me, but it's going to be like 15 minutes. He goes, no problem. We'll be cleaning up for the next hour, so don't worry about it. Just hang out. He goes, and the pastor said to the boy, he goes, by the way, what'd you think? He goes, you know, I'm not a Christian, but I kind of want to know more about this. And so the pastor said, wait, do you want to become a Christian? Or you want to know more? And he said, no, I'm not ready to become a Christian yet, but I want to know more. For 20 minutes, that pastor leader got to sit with that boy and share with him the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Jesus loves him, how Jesus wants him in the family, how Jesus died for him and what form of death, and about the resurrection and the form of resurrection, and what the job of the church is, and how to be saved, and how it's something you can't earn. He got to do this over a 15-minute period. At the end of that period of time, he said to the boy, do you want to be saved? The boy said, this is something I really need to think about. And he said, okay, can I show you how to pray about it? He said, well, I'm not saved yet. He goes, nope, but God will hear your prayers. I should follow up and see what happened to that young man, because I know he came back to group. See, God can use any circumstance that seems bad for good. Praise be His. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word, and we walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. So we all speak again together, courtesy of God. May His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.